How do I launch a podcast? How do I grow my audience? How can I earn money from my show? What's the best mic or recording equipment to use? The Podcast Host Academy answers all those questions and more. The Podcast Host Academy offers 22 in-depth courses, hundreds of video lessons, dozens of hours of learning, live support sessions, and more. If you want to be a successful podcaster, then the Podcast Host Academy is the way to go. Click the link in the description to find out more. Hello, and welcome to I Watch This As An Adult, the podcast where I review movies from my childhood from an adult perspective. And this week I'll be reviewing 1996's Don't Be a Menace in South Central While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood. Alright guys, welcome to the show. Gonna be reviewing Don't Be a Menace to South Central While Drinking Your Juice in the Hood. I will not be putting that whole title in the title card. Just to let you guys know, that is a long ass title and I will not be typing all that. I don't even know if the title card will let me type all of that, but it's bad enough I had to type in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, The Secret of the Ooze, you know. One time, you know, I'm not typing in don't be a menace in South Central while drinking your juice in the hood. It's just not happening. Oh, also, let me date this episode, by the way. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I want to send a happy Mother's Day out to my mother. And I want to send a happy Mother's Day out to my wife, my lovely wife. And a happy Mother's Day to my mother-in-law and happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there, you know, like, just all of them. Everybody who pushed a person out of their vagina, happy Mother's Day to you. You know, you're the reason we have people on this earth. And we thank you for it. This bud's for you. But anyway, happy Mother's Day. But I just dated the episode, everybody. It's now. You can't listen to this episode beyond this, you know, but really you can listen to the episode whenever you want. But yeah, I'm just okay. I got some things that I watched this week. Finally, I didn't really have anything of note that I watched last week. Finally got around to watching Invincible. Yeah, I know. It took me long enough. Finally got around to watching Invincible. I binge watched it on Sunday night, and then I watched the first four episodes Sunday night, and I watched like the last four episodes Monday night. Was it Monday night? Yeah, I watched the last four episodes on Monday night, and I gotta say, man, shit. This might be the best comic book show that I've ever seen, man. This might be it. This might be the best when it comes to adult superhero shows that are supposed to be for adults. Like, and this one's, I'm like, this one's really adult. This show is really, really fucking adult, but I'm gonna get to that. But like, when it comes to prime time, I'm just gonna say, when it comes to prime time superhero shows, like shit that's not like Saturday morning cartoons or anything like that, this is probably the best of them all, you know. I want to say it's better, way better than The Boys, and I'm gonna get on the differences between The Boys and Invincible, and then the similarities, you know. I'm gonna get to that. But better than The Boys. I tried to watch The Boys. I got through like six episodes of The Boys, and by six episodes, if you don't wow me, I'm just like, yeah, you know, like I'm not feeling it. It's better than way better than The Flash. Anything in the CW verse, it's way better than that. Flash, Black Lightning, I like the first two seasons of Black Lightning. Really didn't get through the third season of Black Lightning. I know there's a fourth season now, but I really, Black Lightning can be a little bit too preachy. I understand. I'm black. I get it. We black. Okay, black. I understand. Black. I know. I get it. We're black. But, that show could be a little bit too fucking preachy. Black, you know? this show could be just a little bit too preachy. And, I'm just kind of grew out of it. Like I said, definitely better than The Flash. Everything in the CW-verse, better than everything in the CW-verse. Even though I am starting to get into Superman and Lois. I watched, two episodes of Superman and Lois so far. It's okay. Like I said, not better than Invincible yet. I'm not going to say it's better than Invincible yet, because I've only watched two episodes. So, got that. Probably better than WandaVision. Probably better than WandaVision. I can't say it's better than Falcon and Winter Soldier, because I really enjoyed Falcon and Winter Soldier. Falcon and Winter Soldier is probably my favorite superhero show of the year so far, but it's up there. It's up there. What else? Black Lightning. That's how you talk about race without jamming it down people's throats. By the way, that's how you do it. Black Lightning. That's how you do it. That's how you talk about racial issues without like shoving it down people's throats. You don't have to be so blatant with it. It's still a show about superheroes. But anyway, let me stop picking on Black Lightning. But let me stop picking on that show. It's really good, man. I loved Invincible. I think it's got two more seasons. That's supposed to be coming, it got greenlit. And looking at this show, man, makes me think about why I never read the comic book. Because, I totally missed the comic book. And I was still reading, I was still, super into comic books when Invincible came out. And I remember seeing the character. I remember seeing it, and I was just what the fuck is that? I would see the book, and I just wouldn't pick it up. I'd pick up Spider-Man or X-Men or Fantastic Four or something like that, which I think, I'm trying to think, 2002, 2002, X-Men was kind of shitty to me at that point. All those books were kind of on a downswing at around that time, and I was still kind of reading them. I was kind of getting out of X-Men, because I think that's around that time. I think around that time in the mid-2000s, when they were trying to be like the movies, it was just let's put the X-Men in the black costumes and all this other bullshit. They stopped being, because there was a time in comic books where everything had to be real. Everything had to be real. I think they even kind of did that with the Avengers in the mid-2000s too, where they kind of took the color out of their costumes. Especially Ultimate Avengers. The Ultimate Avengers was around at that time. They kind of took the color out of their costumes and shit like that. It started making it real. It was just okay, whatever. It's supposed to be fucking fantasy, but okay, we want to get real, okay. But but yeah, man, I never really read Invincible. I never in my life picked up an Invincible comic book, and I don't understand why. But I'm glad I didn't, actually, in a roundabout way. I'm glad I didn't, because there's a lot of shit that happens in this show. I'm like, god damn. I'm really glad I didn't pick up an Invincible comic book, because I would have missed, not missed, but I would have known about everything that was going to happen. I would have known, spoiler alert, that Omni-Man is a goddamn crazy psychopath. You know, if anybody's watched Invincible, pretty much everybody here most likely has watched Invincible. I told you, spoiler alert, before I said that, but Omni-Man is Invincible's father. Invincible is a teenage superhero. I like to say he's in the vein of Spider-Man with Superman's powers. You know, with like he's kind of like Superboy mixed with Spider-Man. He's Spider-Boy, but you know, like those old Amalgam comics back from the 90s. You remember those? But I'm going real deep into the nerd hole. But it was Invincible is pretty much he's a teenage superhero. His dad is a alien from an alien race called the Viltrumites, which is kind of like, I guess, like warped Kryptonians. And later on, which I caught on in this by like episode 3. Later on, Omni-Man reveals to Invincible. Invincible's real name is Mark. I forgot the last name. What was the last name? It's something simple too. Mark. I want to say Mark Coleman, but no, it's not Mark Coleman. Was it Mark Coleman? I think his name is Mark Coleman. Was it Mark Coleman? Was that the name? Oh my God, I forgot this motherfucker's name. I think his name is Mark Coleman. but for this, I'm gonna call him Mark Coleman. I forgot his fucking name. I'm sorry, fuck. but his dad's Earth name is Nolan. I remember his name is Nolan. And so Nolan reveals to Mark later on that the Viltrumites conquer planets, is what they do. They conquer planets, they take over the world, is what they do. They're kind of like on some they're on some Thanos Super Saiyan shit, you know, like it's kind of a mix of Thanos and the Super Saiyans. We're like Goku was supposed to come to. I'm all over the place now. I'm talking about Dragon Ball Z. Dragon Ball Z. Well, like, he was supposed to come to Earth. Goku was supposed to come to Earth to take it over, but he lost his memory and he didn't remember who he was. He didn't even know he was a Super Saiyan until like other Super Saiyans came, like Vegeta and Nappa and Broly and what's the other one? There's another one. God damn it. There's another Super Saiyan. And I forgot his goddamn name. God damn it. But yeah, those like until like all those guys started coming and they started telling him. They were like, yeah, we supposed to take this shit over. He was like, what the fuck you doing being all nice to these Earthlings? We supposed to take this shit, you know? like that. That's what it's kind of like fucking pretty much based off of. But yeah, man, I'm not gonna go into like the whole fucking story and shit, but I like the show. I really, 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 really fucking like the show. I wanted to talk about the differences between Invincible and The Boys, because both these shows are really fucking ultra-violent. They're really ultra-violent. Invincible is violent as shit. I want to say Invincible might be a little bit more violent than The Boys, because they show blood and gore and guts and eyeballs popping out of your socket and punching through your head, cutting heads off, splitting bodies apart. It's like all types of fucking, just they doing all types of shit. All types of nasty, gory, bloody shit in this goddamn show. It's fucking, it's bloody. It's really bloody. If like you got, if you got sensitive stomach, if you got sensitive kids, you know, like don't let them watch this. Anybody, like don't let them watch this, because they're gonna be traumatized. They're gonna be fucking traumatized. Especially that last episode. My God, that last episode is traumatizing, because like there's a big like death toll. There's a big death toll in that last episode. That's another thing I like about this show. They show people dying. I think episode 3. Was it episode 3? Where like they had the alien invasion. The aliens actually kill people. Like, not everybody got out of that motherfucker alive. Not everybody lived through the alien invasion. Like, those aliens were blasting on civilians and actually killing civilians. There's one scene where like I think a guy tripped during the alien invasion, and he tried to get up, and like one of the aliens stepped on his fucking head and crushed that motherfucker. Crushed his head like a watermelon. You know, like just popped that motherfucker. But yeah, man, they show death. They show destruction. They show you that like this show shows you that being a superhero is not all it's cracked up to be, man. Like, and they actually show superheroes die. They show superheroes getting hurt. You know, like it's not like, oh, he got hit, he'll be all right. It's like, nah, man. Like, this motherfucker got fucked up. He's probably gonna be in a coma for like a month. You know, like they go into that much detail. You know, it was like, yeah, man, he got fucked up really bad. You know, like he's gonna be in a coma for like at least a month. We don't even know if this motherfucker's gonna live. You know, like they show you the perils and the pitfalls of being a superhero on this show. They show you that like it's not all it's cracked up to be. But yeah, it's a good ass show. But like I was saying, like the parallels between this and The Boys is like with The Boys, and I think this is why I don't like The Boys. This is why I don't really care for The Boys. With the parallels between this and The Boys, with The Boys, it's kind of like apathetic. They're like, there's no hope whatsoever, and like all superheroes are evil, and none of these motherfuckers got our best interests at hand. You know, like they're all in it for them. It's like The Boys is trying to make superheroes into like corrupt cops. You know, it's like, that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing with superheroes. They're making superheroes corrupt cops. They're corrupt. They take money. They rape bitches. They, you know, like, they kill people just for the hell of it. You know, like none of them are good people. None of these superheroes are good people. They're fucking racist. I think I haven't really watched season 2. I think I heard on season 2 there's a racist superhero on there. And I'm like, what the fuck? You know, but yeah, like it's just like no hope for superheroes. Like they're all bad. Fuck them. You know, on The Boys. And I don't like that. I don't like that at all. That's what I like with the Invincible. This is what I like with Invincible. Invincible shows you that there's still hope out there. With all the blood and violence that's going on this show, they still show you that there's still hope out there. There's still people out there that want to be heroes, and they will jump in to being a superhero no matter what. No matter if it costs them their life. Cause there's a team on Invincible called the Guardians of the Globe. The first iteration of the Guardians of the Globe got killed by Omni-Man. Omni-Man murdered them because they were standing in the way of him
of world domination. They were standing in his way, so he had to take them out. But he killed them. Yeah, and they pick a new team of Guardians of the Globe, and that team is just like, they see Omni-Man doing all this shit. When they find out that Omni-Man is evil, they see Omni-Man doing all this shit. And I think, like, because they got like this Nick Fury type character on the show, and like he's telling them to stand back, and like Invincible at the end, like, because Invincible finds out about his dad, he has to stop his dad. He's like, I'm gonna stop you. And like, he's getting his ass whipped. Like, he's getting the shit kicked out of him by his dad. And he's just like, and he's just getting the shit kicked out of him, and just all this destruction. Omni-Man's killing people and everything, and the Guardians of the Globe just can't stand by. They don't have the powers either. They're not powerful enough to stop Omni-Man either. But they're just like, they're just looking, and they're just like, we can't stand by while this is happening. And I don't care. They're like, we don't care if we lose our life. We got to stop this. We got to stop this death. We got to stop this destruction right now. This cannot be. So they go, and they go out and they help. And that's what I like about this show. They show you that there's still hope. You know, not all superheroes are evil, especially. Actually, none of the superheroes are evil. It's just Omni-Man. Omni-Man's fucking crazy. He's the only bad superhero. All the other superheroes are good people. They got their flaws and shit, but they got their flaws. But like, all the other superheroes are superheroes. They're legit superheroes. They're there to help people, and they don't have any other like sinister intentions. You know, but yeah, man. I enjoy the show, man. That's all I got to say, man. The show is good. I like it. Moving on. Let me get a little sip, because talking about Invincible is gonna make my throat drier than the Sahara Desert. Yeah. Moving on. Watched the second part of the Selena Netflix series. I just thought I would talk about it because I talked about the movie and I talked about the first part, so maybe you guys want to hear the second part, you know. Just saying. I want to say that I like this part a little bit more. Not as much, but a little bit more in part one. You know, like, I already talked about part one. I forgot which episode that I talked about it on, but it's one of the Christmas episodes. It's in one of the Christmas episodes in December. I talked about the first part. You can skim through those and hear my thoughts on that. But I think it's a little better, because I think my biggest gripe about the first part was like there wasn't a lot of Selena. You know, like, there wasn't a lot of Selena, and I'm trying to think about
how to say this shit, but I'm not gonna say like they kind of like, I want to say crucified, but that's not the right word. I had a problem
with AB on the first part of the series. I had a problem with the way they did AB. You know, the way they portrayed AB. Let's say that. That's the word. The way they portrayed AB. And they still do it here. But, you know what? It's not. I'm like, whatever. Fuck it. You know, like, if that's what they want to do, that's what they want to do. But, you know. The show's really not about him. But, yeah, and like he's really downplayed in part two. Like I kind of feel like part one was really about him. He's in a lot of part one, but part two he's kind of downplayed. He's kind of in the background. You know, he's just the producer. He's just the producer dude, and he plays bass. That's pretty much him. But yeah, here I like this one a little bit better because it showed more Selena. It showed more what she was going through. They even kind of hint, they kind of hinted that there were a little, there were some problems with her and her husband. You know, like a little shit, but no marriage is perfect. No marriage is perfect. I had a fucking argument with my wife 2 days ago, we got into it 2 days ago. So no marriage is perfect. It was just good to see that their marriage wasn't perfect. Cause I kind of had the feeling, cause it's like in the movie, they try to play them perfectly, but they had their issues. Just like any other marriage. It was some regular marriage shit, really. It was some regular ass marriage shit, but I like that they put that in there. They had arguments, they had fights. I like that they put that in there. But yeah, man, and this is where we get Yolanda Saldivar, the woman that murdered Selena, and she shows up in this part of the show. In the first couple episodes, she's in the background. It's 9 episodes of this show. You really don't get to see a lot of her, because I think she shows up in the first time she shows up is in episode 3, I want to say. I think she shows up in episode 3. You don't really get a real sense of her until about episode 6, I want to say. Episode 6 or 7 is when you start, when they start planting the seeds that, this bitch is not who you think she is, I think about at the end of episode 6 is when they start doing that. They're like, oh yeah, this bitch is shady, And then they're from 7 to 9, they just rev that shit up, they're like, yeah, this bitch is crazy, So really, really, you can skip episode 1, you can skip episode 2, the kind of filler. Episode 3 is when Yolanda shows up. Episode 4, kind of filler. I think episode 4 is just about Selena's having a busy day. Oh God, and some shit like that. But it was one of those episodes between 4 and 6. Between 4 and 6, it's one of those episodes. It's man, you can fucking skip this, It's from 4 to 6. You can watch 3. That's when Yolanda shows up. 4 through half of 6. You might want to watch 6 to get some, to get episode 6 to get some input on what's going on. But 4 and 5, 4and 5 are filler, like I said, it's just about, Selena's having a rough day, or she's having a busy day, some shit like that. But really, the meat of what you want to see is episode 7 through 9. Episode 7 through 9 is what the fuck you want to see. Because it tells you, they show you what led up to it, led up to Selena's murder. They show you everything, man. She lied about Yolanda lied about getting raped, and that was the last straw for Selena. She was like, "You gonna lie about rape, bitch? Really?" She was like, "That's what that was." She was done with it. She "I'm done with you." I think she was like, "That's enough." She like, "I'm done with you." The last thing, she was just like, give me my... Because I think she wanted some things for him. Yolanda still had some stuff for her. Some stuff. I think she had, some records or some shit like that. That Selena needed. And she was just like... She was like, give me my shit. And I'm done with you. She was like, that's it. So, then that was the last time she was alive. So, that was it. Yeah, man. Like I said, not gonna really go into too much detail on it. I thought the second part of the series was a little bit better. Like I said, 1 through 2 kind of filler. 3 is kind of filler, but you get Yolanda. That's the first appearance of Yolanda. 4 Yolanda is in, I think Yolanda is in episode 4 and 5, but she don't really do much. You might want to watch those two. I don't know, fuck. But 1 and 2 you can skip. But when, like, 3 through 9 is, like, when you see Yolanda. Because I think they're, like, they just start planting seeds about Yolanda in, like, 4 and 5, too. You know, because, like, she's not in those episodes very much, but she's in them. Because, like, they're just like, oh, this is when she takes over the fan club. And, oh, there's something about fucking money. Money's missing or some shit like that. And they're like, oh, I don't know what happened. But, Yeah, because I think there's one episode where, like, she's trying to build her boutique. There's one episode where she's trying to build her boutique and, like, the contractor stopped because they didn't get paid. And she's like, wait, no. And, like, Selena's like, wait, no, I paid them. What's going on here? You know, but, yeah, man. Skip 1 and 2. 3 through 9. That's all I'm going to say. That's all I'm going to say about that. 3 through 9 is where all the shit happens, okay? But even though 2 of those episodes, I feel like they're, like, fucking corny as shit. You know, like, 2 of those episodes, like, I think, like, 4 and 5 are just, like, corny as fuck. Because, like I said, it's just about, oh, she's having a rough day. Oh, no. It's like some sitcom shit. But, you know, but anyway, that's it. Those are the things I watched this week. I'll be back with my review of Don't Be a Menace right after this. Bruce is an electric toothbrush that will change the way you think about brushing your teeth. With powerful sonic technology and ultra-gentle bristles, the Bruce redefines what it means to have super clean teeth. It's like that feeling when you just leave the dentist, a fresh, whole mouth clean, every single day. Our listeners get 15% off their total purchase with the code POD15. Follow the link in the show notes and enter the code POD15 to get your exclusive discount and upgrade your oral care routine. All right, guys, welcome back to the show. Don't be a menace while drinking your juice in the hood or whatever. What the fuck did I just say? Don't be a menace. Let's just call that. Don't be a menace. 1996. Let's talk about how I watched it as a kid. I remember my parents ordering this movie on pay-per-view. I remember. And I remember liking the movie. I remember thinking it was funny. I also remember my mom almost turning it off. Like 10 minutes in, she saw like 2 naked people on the screen. So that scene when like they're at the party, the 2 naked people are humping each other. And, yeah, like it almost got turned off. You know, like, my mom was like, oh, no. And my dad had to stop her from turning it off, I remember. And I was like, I had to be, what, 11? I think I was 11 at the time when I saw that. Yeah, that was that. let's get into the technicals of this movie. This movie was directed by Paris Barkley, who is mostly a TV director. Most notably, he directed most of Sons of Anarchy, the TV show Sons of Anarchy on FX. He directed most of that show. Most of it is his. I think it was split between him and I don't want to say that, but like Kurt Sutter is the creator of Sons of Anarchy. I think it was split between him and Kurt Sutter. I think they both directed most of the episodes, but Paris Barkley directed most of Sons of Anarchy. So like that's a big deal. And he directed this movie. I think this is his only movie. Come to think about it, I think mostly all he's done is television. He's mostly done television. This is his only movie. The movie was written by Sean and Marlon Wayans with Phil Bowman. The movie has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 31%, which I can take or leave. I don't know. I'm not really Rotten Tomatoes. Going through these reviews and adding Rotten Tomatoes scores to these reviews. I've noticed that Rotten Tomatoes don't know what the fuck they're talking about half the time.
You know, so I'm not even gonna take that shit to heart. So that's that. The movie had a budget of 3.8 million. Sorry. 3.8 million, and it brought in 20 million at the box office, so it was a success. At least it got their money back. This film is a spoof. This film's a spoof of like coming of age hood movies. It mostly spoofs Menace to Society, Poetic Justice, and Boys in the Hood. The movie follows Sean Wayans' Ashtray, who is a composite parody of Trey from Boys in the Hood, Kane from Menace to Society, and Marlon Wayans plays Loke Dog, who is a composite parody of O-Dog from Menace to Society, Lucky from Poetic Justice, and Doughboy from Boys in the Hood. The way to review this movie, I really can't come at this movie with a traditional review because it's a parody. It's like a bunch of characters playing a bunch of characters that you've already seen. It's like composite characters, you know, like everybody in this movie is a composite character. It's a parody of a character from another movie. So you can't really talk about like performances or the character itself because like it's a parody character. You can't really talk about it. But what I can say is at the time this movie came out, it felt like a breath of fresh air. That's what I can say because the hood genre was just getting like, it was just getting silly. It was just getting out of hand, you know, like they were just doing too fucking much. And I really feel that John Singleton was coming from a good place with Boys in the Hood, but the genre just started to devolve after that, pretty much. It was just very quickly, I think. Boys in the Hood, because Boys in the Hood, I believe, was trying to educate people, you know, because I feel like John Singleton was trying to be like Spike Lee, you know, like with Do the Right Thing and all of other Spike Lee's movies. I really feel like, because I think he even worked under Spike at one point. I think he worked under Spike and he wanted to be Spike. And so he was like, I'm going to make my own movie. And he did Boys in the Hood. And he was trying to educate, but all people saw was violence. And all the studios saw was violence, all the movie studios. So they made Menace to Society, you know, and all these other like hood movies. And it just like those movies just started to like perpetuate and glorify more violence and just leave the message out that they were trying to convey. Like that's why the best character in this movie is the mailman played by Keenan Ivory Wayans, because like he just pops up. He just pops up every time somebody says something intellectual. And he shouts message. He's like, message! You know, he shouts that. And like, that's why I think he's the most important character in this whole movie. Because like, he's trying to tell you, like, you know what this movie was supposed to be about, right? It's supposed to be about the message. You know, but but y'all niggas didn't see that shit. Because all y'all saw was violence. So, anyway. But yeah, man, I feel like this movie and Love Jones were like the like final nail in the coffin for like the hood genre. You know, like after that, we couldn't go back after that. You know, like once something gets made fun of and it's a parody, you can't go back because it's lame now. It's stupid. They made fun of it. They made it look silly. They made it look cartoonish. You know, you can't go back to it. And Love Jones was kind of like, this is just the start of like the upwardly mobile Negro movie, you know, which probably gets a lot of those as I go along in this journey, you know. But yeah, let's talk about the Wayans brothers part in making this movie. Because like looking at this movie, you can tell that the Wayans brothers, like they studied the Zucker brothers to a T, because like there's a lot of Zucker brothers slapstick comedy in here, and it It's fucking brilliant. I got to say. I have to say. Because looking back at this movie, I was like, this movie's fucking brilliant, man. You know? It's brilliant. Because, like, it's Hood Airplane. It's what it is. It's Hood Airplane. Because the Zucker Brothers made Airplane, the movie, I think it came out, like, what, 1980? When Airplane came out, because like they were making fun of all those disaster films, like the Towering Inferno and the Poseidon Adventure, and there was another one. I think it was just called Inferno. Was it just called Inferno? There was another movie like that. You know, like making fun of all those movies, because like those were like the big movies in the 70s, like disaster films were big in the 70s, and like the Zucker Brothers were just making fun of it. They were like, let's make our own movie called Airplane. We're just going to make fun of all that shit. So, like, that's what the Wayans brothers did. They were making fun of all the hood movies. They were like, this shit getting out of hand. Let's just make a fucking movie parodying all the goddamn hood movies. And they did that shit to a T. They studied the Zuckers and did it brilliantly. Love it. I mean, like, there is a lot of topical comedy in this movie too, along with the slapstick, because like they're talking about O.J. Simpson, they're talking about Rodney King. There's like jokes about O.J. Simpson and Rodney King. There's jokes about Mike Tyson. I think that there's a visual gag about Rick James. You know, so a lot of like dated topical comedy, but you know, like if you were there, you were there, and if you were there, you think it's funny. You know, like I said, I'm not talking about any of the characters or the actors in this film, because like they're all composite characters, you know. Like I said at the beginning, like everybody is playing a character that already exists in another movie. Like all these characters, even like the side characters, because there's a character in here named Daishiki. There's a character in here named Daishiki, and like she's a composite character of all the female characters, all the female love interests in all the hood movies. She's Justice in Poetic Justice. She's Brandy in Boys in the Hood. What was Jada Pinkett's character in Menace to Society? She's that character as well. You know, like she's all those characters. Chris Spencer plays the positive role model brother, you know, like he's like the positive role model mother, the role model brother dude that's in Menace to Society, you know, like the guy that gets shot at the end of Menace to Society when the drive-by happens. He's that character. There's another character in here named Legs. He's the paralyzed dude from Boys in the Hood. There's another Ashtray's father. He's pretty much Furious Styles from Boys in the Hood, you know, like all that shit. Like everybody's another character. Everybody's a character of another character, you know. Like I said, the one thing I always wanted to know if black people from LA were ever offended by this movie. Because the Wayans brothers are from New York, okay? The Wayans brothers are from New York, and they're making fun of black LA culture. With the East-West beef still going on, too. I'll pause right there, just to let that seep in. Because the East-West beef is still going on at this time. Like it's like this is when it's about to come to like a this is like when it's about to come to an head to a head. Cause Tupac hadn't died yet. Biggie hadn't died yet. Really 97 is when after Biggie died is when like everybody was like, you know what, we gotta stop this shit. You know, this shit ain't worth it. Like two people just fucking lost their lives and I'm not for it. You know, so I don't know, man. And they're playing a lot of New York hip-hop in this movie, too. They're making fun. It's two guys. Let's just let me recap. It's two guys from New York making fun of black LA culture with the East Coast, West Coast beef still going on. And they're playing a lot of New York hip hop in this movie. Think about it. Just fucking think about it. But overall, I still enjoyed the movie. Like, some of the jokes, you know, like I said, don't hold up because it's so topical. But it's still a fun movie to me. Not a real long review. Because, like I said, all the characters are composite characters. Can't really say much about them. But I enjoyed the movie. I thought it was fun. I give it a 4 out of 5. Join me next week when I review 1997's The Sixth Man. Catch you guys later. Peace.